Now, time to check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
And away we go, Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN. Look who's back in the co-pilot seat.
Good to be back, Sammy.
I missed you. Yeah.
Missed you.
Haven't done this.
I was off the grid last week. Wisconsin, bachelor party, up in the woods. Absolutely no internet service. It was kind of nice, but I was out of it. I didn't have a chance to listen to you, but I heard it went well.
Yeah, it was solid. Joey Gelman, the executive producer this
Killing
year.
It.
There's a lot of moving parts. I find that out year after year.
But the one constant is Sam Panionovich behind the mic.
Better intro this year, right?
That's quality.
Last year we used to, man, did we used to laugh. We've got 18 of the top 20 teams in the Chicago Tribune in action tonight. Brother Rice, Crete, Monee, Glenbard North, Wabansee Valley, Batavia, Libertyville, Glenbard West, Hinsdale South, Montini surprisingly lost by 31 last week. They try and avoid the 0-2 start at home against Lake Zurich. We will talk to Maine South head coach Dave and Sarah, recurring guests. He's been on about 2-3 years in a row. All they've done, KP, 75 straight wins in the Central Suburban South.
Been a powerhouse for years. They had in the early thousands, they had some state runs where they came runner up. How many state championships in a row did they have?
I don't know how many in a row. They've got five total, and Sarah's been the head coach for three.
Well, anybody from that area, anybody that knows anybody, I've had cousins that have played in the program. It's a powerhouse, and it's tough every year. They normally have a huge turnout of players, so they're always churning out a ton of talent. You've seen quarterbacks for them go play D1, so powerhouse school year in and year out.
We will talk to, as always, Mike Helfgott right after the 10:30 news. As we mentioned, Dave and Sarah, 10:20. We will also go out into the field. We didn't get a Hersey score last week. We couldn't find one.
What do you mean you couldn't find one?
We couldn't find a Hersey score.
That's like the only school everyone's talking about, Sam.
By the way, before we get to Chris Vavra, who will join us for the first time, can we talk about what you did with the Hersey program earlier this year?
Yeah, Husky
saw
Pride.
A picture of it.
I
they
went
brought
to Hersey,
you out.
By the way. Yeah, they did.
That's pretty cool, man. Honestly,
well,
God.
Well, okay, so Joe Pardon's the head coach at Hersey, great man. He was the defense coordinator when I was playing there. And I've just stayed in touch with him from time to time when I was producing for Cochran. We had him on the show because they have a great special ed flag football program. So we had him on to talk about that. But he's a great guy. So I just, you know, we text every now and again. And one of the my good friends who's now an assistant coach there, just said, hey, you should just stop by a practice. I talked to the coach a little bit. So I just went. It was just casual, just hung out through the football round, sat in film session, just saw what they were doing, checked out the offense, little weight room session with the
he
boys.
He asked you for feedback. I did that last year at St. Ignatius.
Yeah.
I went to go check out a practice,
mm-hmm.
and coach said at the end of practice, do you want to talk to the team? Wasn't ready. Well, I was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, see, I had a feeling he was going to do that, and he didn't even ask me. He was doing his after practice speech, and he goes, oh, also we have a former player here, Kevin Powell. He works at GN now. He's gonna talk to you guys now. I go, I am, huh, coach?
Yeah,
all right.
You just don't know. Because
but you
it's
know
such
what it was fun.
Deal.
Like once I got up there, like I mean, you're not that nervous. It's like whatever. You know
no.
what I mean? It's like high school football, you know, and you just kinda go, and I just sort of rambled about this and rambled about playing there and things like that. So it was fun. It was cool to be out there. I'm gonna try to get out there again, but they lost 35-7 today, Sam. I don't think I had a major impact on the team just yet, but I need to get out there again more often.
One of many scores.
Frem's always tough. They're always a thorn in Hersey's side, I'm telling you. That's part on his alma mater, too. So he always wants to win that game. He's not going to be a happy man tonight.
The way we do it here, the only place in Chicago radio where you can hear high school football scores and stories, essentially. You help us, we can help you. 312-981-7200. We'll do scores at 10:15-ish, 10:35, and then 10:55. Let's get a quick hitter out in the field right now. Joining us for the first time ever, he is Chris Vavra on Twitter, at Chris Vavra 1. He covered number 4 Glenbard West at Hinsdale South. A defensive battle, Chris. Welcome to the show. What was the story out there?
So, hi, guys. Well, it was 0-0 for the first three quarters, and Glenbard West finally broke the logjam when Cole Brady threw a 36-yard pass to junior receiver Alec Pierce to get them down to the three, and that set up an easy score for their running back DJ Ficarella, put him up 7-0. And South fought back, and they managed to actually get it to 7-6 after Brady fumbled on a snap at the 5-yard line, and their cornerback DJ Anderson, the Hornets, ran it all the way back 96 yards for a touchdown, and got it to 7-6. And the punt after a point after was blocked, and then And Glenn Bard Weston just came back and put one more on the board to make it 14-6, and the Hornets just could not find the magic to force them to overtime.
So you watched the entire game. How good is that hitter's defense, Chris?
Both defenses were outstanding tonight. There were a lot of penalties, but you know the rush defense for both sides were very, very good, and you know, neither side could really get any traction going. You know, it was a real battle of attrition between both sides. And I think neither side got into the red zone until like midway through the third quarter.
Glenn Bard West beats Hinsdale South 14-6. Chris, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Chris Vavra, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, also the Pioneer Press, on Twitter at ChrisVavra1, V-A-V-R-A. Let's do this, and then we'll come back and talk to the head coach of Maine South, Dave Vincera. 75 straight wins in a row in the Central Suburban South. They didn't play a conference game today, so that streak still intact. Let's get our numbers from Kevin Powell.
Preps Plus Chicago. Scoreboard.
All right, scores continue to roll in. We'll start with the top 20 and give you what we got. Glenn Bard West wins 14-6. Homewood Flossmoor roll to a 54-6 victory. Wabonzi, a 29-28 victory. Palatine, an easy win, 48-7. So those are some of your top 20 teams. Around the area, Maine West over Larkin, 46-13. Peoria, Notre Dame, 56 over Manuel, 14. Notre Dame Peoria 56 winner. St. Charles North 42. Bartlett nothing there. Again, Fremd over Hersey 35-7. St. Charles North beat Bartlett 42-0. And Aurora Central Catholic over Westmont 49-0. We'll continue to give you the scores throughout tonight. That's your Preps Plus scoreboard update. Kevin Powell.
Keep them coming, 312-981-7200. You help us, we help you. Weekday mornings, it has everything you need to know and some things you need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news. Dave Vincera, the head coach of the Maine South Hawks, will join us next, 720 WGN.
Chicagoland's only high school football scores, stats, and stories program. This is Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
And we welcome you back to Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN, a recurring guest on the show now. We've had him a handful of years in a row. He's the head coach of Maine South. The Hawks are 1-0. Dave Vincera joins us on WGN. I guess the biggest lesson, Coach, as we welcome you in, and we thank you for joining us, is that these preseason rankings just don't matter at all.
No, they really don't, Sam. You know, a lot of it's based on the strength of a program, obviously. And but that fueled our fire last week. That we weren't really mentioned in the top 20s. The kids use that to play with a chip on their shoulder, and obviously it worked to our advantage.
I'm sure you make your players aware of that because from what I can gather over the years, you're a master motivator. I know most of the time going into the season, your team is in that top 20. It doesn't matter, but I'm sure your team knew what was going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, we lost some nice players, you know, some good players for us last year, and we lost a three-year starter and Brian Collis at quarterback, but these kids knew what they had coming back. It's been a great group of seniors, especially, and their camaraderie, their work ethic, their tightness. You know, we knew it's a good group coming back, so our expectations are always high.
There's testing your team early, and then there's just being borderline crazy. I think this year you're number two because when I look at your schedule, your first three games, you played a state champion in Montini. Tomorrow you play a defending state champion in Loyola. And then in week three, oh, by the way, you play Barrington, one of the better schools in 8A. Why do you do this to yourself?
Some of it's out of our control. It's just the schedule. Some of it's, you know, it's hard to find the better programs. Montini, Loyola, ourselves have the same issues. Hard to find somebody to play you, so you end up playing each other. But what it does is it really makes the off season phenomenal. It makes the off season so motivating to work every day, because you know those games right off the bat are coming at you. So you better be prepared, and you can just use that as motivation during the entire off season.
When did you know that you could rely and count on Nick Leongas?
Probably about 12 years ago.
Really? Is it starting that early?
All
because
the way back.
You know these kids when they're young, right? Because they're in the area.
Yeah, we're a small town. I actually grew up in the town. My son plays for our program right now. He's a sophomore. So, you know, growing up, it's a small town atmosphere, but with great, great football tradition. We've got almost 600 kids playing football right now this year in our youth system. So that just, it helps, you know, it helps to know the kids. They come to our summer camps. So you get to see these kids and you get to know what they do, and they play other sports too. So you can see who's athletic. So Nick, yeah, we've known for a while that he's a player.
So 12 years ago, so he would have been 5 or 6 years old.
Pretty much so. Yeah. When they first start playing flag football, you know, the fathers, the parents around town, they get excited. They start talking about kids. You know, my son's 2 years younger, so I was around the parks definitely watching my son, but seeing, you know, what Nick and most of these guys, most of the team, Luke Hincamp, Matt Schneider, Matt Holbrook, all those guys playing for our Park Ridge, both in-house league and our travel program. So it's great to see.
Dave Vincera is the head coach of the number 13 Maine South Hawks. They are 1-0. Tomorrow they will play at Loyola at 1:30 p.m. up in Wilmette. I'm looking at your offensive line here, Coach. How do you possibly tell a 6 foot, 5 inch, 340-pound lineman named Kevin Jarvis what to do? Because he could probably throw you around.
He could definitely throw me around. But it's a great relationship both he and I have, but also with the rest of the coaching staff. I think he relies on us. You know, most of us are a little bit older. We've got a couple young coaches at the varsity level. But he probably looks at us as, you know, more like fathers, uncles, and we're able to relate to him there. So he's a respectful kid. He's doing a great job. He's committed to Michigan State. But, man, is he a house. I mean, there is no – you don't have to beef up the numbers on him. He is a legitimate 6'5", 340 pounds. You don't need to add anything because that's just incredible.
He's going to be heading to Michigan State. You've got some talent on both sides of the ball per usual. Why have you stayed at Maine South? I don't mean to be so frank about it, but three state titles, you've won pretty much every season. Your record is outstanding over the years. Why stay?
You know, every season presents new challenges. The kids are young, and most of the coaches like to joke that, you know, the kids are young and they keep you young, and they're going to always be, you know, from the 15 to 18 age range. So it keeps you young as a coach. But the challenges of each season, of each team, of the chemistry, molding those programs together, molding those classes together, gelling the junior group with the senior group, it's always a challenge, and we're pretty involved with our freshmen and sophomores and run things through a program, so it's fun to watch kids develop and grow through your system. It's a good challenge, but it's rewarding as well.
Who's the best player you've ever seen at the high school level?
Matt Perez.
No doubt. That didn't take very long for you to answer that. Why Matt Perez?
No. I'm gonna keep it local. I could, you know, maybe try to go outside of that, but I'll keep it within our program. Matt Perez was just a beast of a player, just a big guy who was not only fast but extremely shifty. Our running back right now, Fotis Kokosoulias, who's much smaller than Matt, but Matt was just like Fotis like Matt in terms of the shiftiness, the speed. But Matt was, you know, 210, 215 pounds at the time. Now he was definitely the best.
How about the guys you had to game plan for? Let's take it outside Maine South. Who was the toughest to prepare for?
Toughest to prepare for, you know, when we played Mount Carmel, the program itself is a challenge because of the system they run. You know, Lincoln Ways have always been tough. We played them back in the regular season, way back, and then we played them in the championship game in 2005. So Lincoln Way East was a tremendous program to prepare for. Player-wise, individual, Rashard Mendenhall, I said, I think he was a sophomore.
Oh, yeah.
Him, I said, you know, this guy's a pro player, barring injury, because you could just see what he could do with the ball without changing speeds. And sure enough, he made a career out of it.
You commit three guys to him and they run play action, you're just cooked over the top.
Yeah, we had success against him. He had a little bit of success against us, but we like to say we held him to 69 yards in his last high school game in a playoff game, and so that was a big challenge for our defense, and they responded.
Maine South is a strong contender in the Central Suburban ever since Davin Zare has been the head coach at Maine South. Perennial playoff contenders. Are you worried about a possible split in the IHSA? There could be public and private tournaments pretty soon. You know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. You know, not sure, you know, what side of the fence I'm absolutely on, because you like the challenges of playing everybody and anybody, bring all comers. We've had success against most. But, you know, I understand the difficulties of both scheduling during the regular season and then, you know, once you get into the playoffs, there's definitely advantages with the private schools and the, you know, the radius they can recruit from, where we're, you know, we have three zip codes we can bring in kids from: Park Ridge, a little small pocket of Niles, and then a Harwood Heights area, and that's it, and we're restricted to that. And but, you know, it's been good for us. Three runner-up finishes, five state championships. So, you know, who are we to complain?
Maine South will beat Loyola if what?
We've got to tackle better than we did last week, and we've got to control the ball.
I'll take it. Davin Zare, the head coach of Maine South, number 13. The Hawks play at Loyola tomorrow at 1:30. Good luck, and good luck down the road. I know we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Sam. It's exciting. High school football, nothing better.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
All right, we're going to start with the top 20 here. Number one, Loyola, Maine South. That's the showdown tomorrow. Second ranked, Lincoln Way East. An easy 35-0 win over Belleville West. One of the top games tonight, Glenbard North against Waubonsie. And eighth ranked, Waubonsie wins 29-28. Over at number three, Glenbard North. Glenbard West beats Hinsdale South 14-6. Mount Carmel rolled to a 56-6 win. Homewood Flossmoor, same story for them, 54-6 win. Brother Rice was up big on Crete Moni, 52-32. That's late in the fourth quarter. We'll give you that when it goes final. Number 10, Palatine, a 48-7 win over Elk Grove. Prairie Ridge beat Huntley 31-20. That was an 11 versus 18 matchup. Oak Park wins 35-14 over Addison Trail. And Fenwick shuts out Bowen 51-zip. Batavia, a 34-31 win over number 19 Libertyville. That went to a triple overtime. Longest Batavia win since 2003. So number 17, Batavia over 19th ranked Libertyville, 34-31. That's a look at your top 20 scoreboard. A few other scores in the area. Cary Grove beats McHenry 42-14. Ridgewood over Maine East 54-14. EP Gridley a 26-18 win over Fieldcrest. Aurora Central Catholic 49, Westmont 0. St. Charles North a 42-0 win over Bartlett. Peoria Notre Dame beat Peoria Manual 56-14. Maine West over Larkin 46-13. Montini beat Lake Zurich 19-17. DeKalb over Carmel 38-10. Marist beats Simeon 24-14. Schaumburg over Wheeling, a one-point victory. Schaumburg tops Wheeling 35-34. St. Vider beats St. Francis 39-7. That's a look at your Preps Plus scoreboard update. I'm Kevin Powell.
One of those scores you just heard, and we appreciate all your updates on the text line, 312-981-7200. That's Montini beating Lake Zurich 19-7. That's after they gave up 44 points last week against Maine South on the road. Rich Mayer joins us now. He's on Twitter, at CityHall03. A bounce-back win for Montini. They didn't really give up much against the Bears, huh, Rich?
No, and their offense was struggling mightily early. They pulled their quarterback, Brad Norgel. They replaced him with Matt Morrissey halfway through the third quarter. Then they scored two touchdowns on the next three drives, and their defense held up.
when we expect to see a score, Montini, we expect a lot of points for the Broncos and not as many points for their opponents. Is it a rebuilding year? Is it a down year? How would you define what's going on with Montini right now?
Well, Prince Walker's the main guy on Montini. He has been for, you know, a little bit. He's their running back. He's a senior. And this is his second game. He sat with a strained quad. So I think they're just hoping he heals up and kind of reignites things. And they're also trying to figure out their quarterback situation. And I mean, if you watch the second half tonight, I feel like they may have. Morrissey played very well.
Was there ever a thought that Montini would fall to 0-2? Did you ever think that tonight?
There was absolutely a thought. I wrote, say, a paragraph just in case. They were having a very difficult time into the second half before Morrissey came in on offense. I didn't even know if they would be able to score, but they made that move, and it worked out for them.
I know this game ended late. Did you get a chance to talk to the Montini coaching staff, or are you still doing your thing right now?
No, I talked to Coach Andriano, and he said it was a tooth-and-nail, hard-fought game. He said he loves playing teams like this early in the season. It teaches him what he has, shows his kids what they're capable of. And, you know, Montini's built this mini empire here on playing great opponents and then, you know, carrying that over into the playoffs. And it seems like maybe this team isn't quite as talented, but, you know, that formula looks like it might be working again.
Montini improves to 1-1. Lake Zurich down to 1-1. 19-7, the final score. The Broncos win. I know you're doing yeoman's work. You've got a deadline to hit now that just passed. So good luck with that. Thank you, Rich. We'll talk to you in week 3.
All right. Thank you.
That is Rich Mayer from the Chicago Tribune, also from the Pioneer Press. Let's do this. We will grab a quick timeout. Mike Helfgott, who is covering our game of the week, number 3, Glenbard North, number 8, Wabanse Valley. That one ended late. Coach Helfgott should be joining us in about 5 minutes from now. Let's grab a timeout. 720 WGN.
Back to the Friday Night Lights and Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
1043 on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Sam Panionovic and Kevin Powell. Joey Gelman along for the ride as well. We will talk to Mike Helfgott about 2 minutes from now. He's still wrapping up Glenbard North and Wabanse Valley. Lots going on in the sports world. Northwestern, the Kitties open up tomorrow, the home opener against Western Mich. Is that 11 o'clock?
It's a 10:30 pregame right here on WGN. Of course, Mr. Cat will take you through that, and then he'll have the kickoff at 11. And if I'm not mistaken, Sammy, Dan Persil will be on the call with Mr. Cat tomorrow.
Oh, where's Teddy at?
Not sure. Just saw on Twitter, Persil's in. So Mr. Cat at 11, Western Michigan at Ryan Field. Football all day tomorrow and football tonight. A quick update, Sam, for you. Number seven, Brother Rice, still up on Creepmo Knee, and which is turning into the longest high school football game in the history of
Seriously,
Illinois. There's like 6 minutes.
It's like 7 o'clock.
It's way past these high school kids' bedtime. They're way past curfew. But Brother Rice up 52-36 on Creepmo Knee. That's 7th. Ranked Brother Rice. And of course, we haven't given you number one Loyola score against Maine South because they play tomorrow. And a great interview you had with head coach for Maine South, Sammy.
Yeah, David Sarah was talking about, and we'll bring in Mike Helfgott in just a second, about how this season some of the scheduling was out of his control because nobody really wants to play Maine South.
Yeah.
It's hard in the non-conference to find an opponent that wants to play the Hawks.
What's that going to do for your self-esteem?
Right,
you know what I mean? It's like hard to find an opponent because you're such a dominant program that teams are shying away from it.
This is something that Coach Helfgott has talked about for over 15 months now as he joins us now on Preps Plus Chicago. Coach, welcome. First and foremost, let's start with the game you covered, the game of the week, Glenbard North, Wabanse Valley, a pair of top 10 teams. What was the final score and what was the main bullet point for you tonight?
We had 29-28 Wabanse Valley set here. They scored with 14.2 seconds left and then went for two for their only lead of the game.
Real quick, we're sort of following that because there was so much Twitter action on that game. A lot of people keeping an eye on it. We saw some great footage on Twitter. A nice little fade in the back of the end zone to win it, huh?
Yeah, to a 6'4 tight end, Charles Robinson, who is an under-recruited junior who certainly looked like a guy tonight.
Mike Helfgott brought to you by Lou Balnati's, home of Chicago's Deep Dish Pizza. Find one of 40-plus locations, or you can order online, LouMalnati's.com. You wrote a little bit over a week ago about how you thought Glenbard North is your pick to win the 7A title. Were you impressed from what you saw tonight?
I'm impressed with both teams. I mean, and Lombard North did absolutely everything it wanted on offense. Vittorio Tricasi, their senior running back, had 243 yards and four touchdowns. When they did pass, I mean, they've got some talented receivers. They don't pass an awful lot. But Jace James, Northwestern recruit, had almost 100 yards receiving. So they didn't really stop them. I mean, Wavonzi came in thinking they would have to really run the ball themselves. They run a spread option. They thought they would have to just kill the clock to be able to beat them. And the exact opposite happened. They outscored them.
I have a two-pack of questions. I don't know if you caught the interview with Dave and Sarah. Let's start here. You've talked about this for a long time. We just teased it as we brought you in. He said that the Hawks are having a hard time putting together that non-conference schedule. Nobody wants to play Maine South. Surprise, surprise, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly not just Maine South. It's to the point that any program that has built up a reputation where, you know, regardless of the names on the back of the jerseys, the front of the jersey kind of thing, where they, you know, and that's more prevalent in football, where in other sports it seems more cyclical. In football, it seems like we're talking about the same teams year after year. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot. As you said, Sam, it comes down to you need five wins to make the playoffs, sometimes six. And you're not going to, in your non-conference games, you're not going to play. You're not going to take an automatic L.
Right. A lot of these athletic directors and coaching staffs around Chicagoland, they look at that schedule and they kind of pen out wins. Well, there's three, there's four. We got to get to five. Let's schedule somebody we think we can beat. And Sarah also touched on, I asked him about the public versus private, and he didn't have an initial reaction, but I think he talked himself into the fact that he said Maine South recruits three zip codes. Those are their stomping grounds. They have three areas they can pull from, and the Catholic schools have so many more, as you know. So I think these public league schools, the more they think about it, the more homework they do about it, they're on board for a public-private split. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is not if a proposal is coming, but when. Is there going to be one for the, is there going to be one, you know, for the October ballot, which would go into effect for next school year? I mean, I've heard some rumblings that maybe there will be, and, you know, and some rumblings that maybe that kind of thing would pass.
And you would be on board with it, or would you be against it? Because I don't know your stance completely yet.
Yeah, I don't know my stance completely yet either. I mean, there's no doubt that 5A, the 6A, that the private schools are just absolutely dominating those classes, and there's a lot of upset people about it, and a lot of schools just don't think it's fair. Don't think that the playing field is fundamentally unlevel. They don't like the fact that, you know, private schools are coming into their areas and taking their kids and recruiting and kind of openly recruiting, and it's really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and there's really some bad feelings on the public side.
Mike Helfgott is the lead preps writer for the Chicago Tribune on Twitter, @MHelfgott. You wrote about, also this week, Fenwick quarterback Jacob Keller, who is a left-handed guard on the basketball team, a right-handed quarterback on the football team. I feel so much less athletic right now just reading your piece. What was your favorite part about talking with Keller?
How about it? I like, you know, the fact that he's honest. I mean, I think that a lot of kids kind of get forced into saying what sport they want to be recruited at because they don't want to diminish their opportunities. And, you know, it's almost to the point where you have to, colleges really sort of pressure you into saying which one you're going to go so that they have an idea so that they can move on, you know, if necessary. And he was ready to do that, and now he's not so sure, and he's kind of honest about it.
Mike, I was out last week, but Sam informed me that a certain award has been created bearing your name. The Helfgott Heisman.
Yes.
Can we get any sort of update on that? Who are the players we need to be watching, and do you have an update from last week and whatever you've been able to gather from tonight?
Well, I was at a barn burner tonight, so my head was out of my Twitter for a lot of the game. I'll give you a kid at Glenbard North, though. Vittorio Tricasi had 243 yards and four touchdowns tonight, had three touchdowns last week. Glenbard North, you know, they just churn out the running backs, and he's a kid that's obviously off to a great start.
I like it. We'll be keeping an eye on it. And, Mike, Sam asked you the football questions. I'm going to ask you the real hard-hitting ones, though. How many high school football stadiums have you been to? An estimate for
it's
you.
I would
guess, what, three? I don't even know. You've been at pretty much all the prominent.
You're guessing three or 300?
No, I was going to guess.
Three less than 200. How about that?
Okay.
What's the longest drive you ever made to cover a high school game?
Probably Champaign.
Okay, not too bad.
For the state finals.
My question is this. Right. We'll have two, and I'm hoping to sort of create maybe a top 10 situation, an AP top 25 type thing for high school student sections, the best. Also, which high school boasts the best concession stand?
Top of my head, still trying to tap it. Those are good questions. I don't mean to suggest that they're not. With a little preparation, though, for those kind of questions.
Yes,
not
I know. I catch you off guard there.
As I'm trying to answer them, yes. I'd be happy to plead the fifth on this one. For this
he
timing.
Answers the tougher questions, Kevin, not the throwaway ones.
No, these were the tough questions. But, Mike, seriously, I'm going to be asking you each week who's got the best concession stand and who's got the best student section. I'm interested to hear.
I have a semi-serious...
I'll do my homework on that.
A semi-serious question for you, Coach. We've got a couple more, and we'll let you go momentarily. From what you can gauge right now, and there are a lot of programs in Illinois coming in and trying to recruit Chicago right now, if you had to rank the top three college football programs in Illinois, as far as keeping kids in state, how would you rate them right now?
I think Northwestern does a good job with their targets. It's not really fair. It's not an apples and apples thing because Northwestern, you know, is recruiting a certain type of kid, a certain kind of student, and they're kind of able to go national with that. I think they do a great job on getting their targets. And I think Northern does a great job of knowing, you know, who's sort of realistic for them and who isn't. So I'll say Northwestern 1, and I'll put Northern ahead of Illinois 2 and 3.
And Mike, I think I asked you this last year as well, but overall, how is the general stock of high school prospects compared to other parts of the nation and compared locally compared to prior seasons in terms of talent?
I think this is a pretty good group. I mean, you're talking about 50-plus kids who are going to be Division I scholarship athletes. I mean, that's really solid. It's not the best in the country, and we don't always have the greatest skill players, although this class in particular really has a lot of good receivers and tight ends.
That's Mike Helfgott, Chicago Tribune. 29-28, is that correct, the final? Glenbard North over Wabanse Valley?
Other way around, Wabanse Valley over Glenbard
North. Oh, I apologize to Wabanse Valley and all their fans. They win. They move to 2-0. Yeah,
you were only off by a point, though.
But that's what you expect, right? When you see a top-10 matchup, that's what you want to see when you go there, when you make that trip. Between two top-10 teams, you want a game that comes out of the wire, and that's what you had tonight.
Absolutely, especially a league that's known for defense. To get this kind of a wild game was nice.
We will read your recap. We'll read all your stuff throughout the week in the Chicago Tribune. That's Mike Helfgott, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Mike Helfgott, Chicago Tribune.
But do you like the concession stand update? Maybe a top 10 situation from Mike Helfgott?
There is a great chili cheese dog at Gately Stadium. Have you been?
I have not.
Got to go. 103rd in Cottage Grove, south side, a little out of your neck of the woods.
My Hershey insiders have told me about the walking taco,
which I know
a lot of high schools have introduced, where it's the Fritos or Cheetos, and you pour all your nacho cheese in there and meat. So
All the fixings.
But I want to know. This is what the people want to know, Sam.
I smell.
The best concessions. Orange Crush, Hershey's student section. They've won awards, Sam. No big deal.
I smell a documentary on the way. Let's get our final check of the scores here on week 2 of Illinois High School football. Here is Kevin Powell.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
All right, we'll run through the Chicago Tribune's top 20 teams here. Loyola and Maine South face off tomorrow. Loyola coming into this week as the top-ranked team. Maine South 13th. That showdown's tomorrow at 1:30. Second-ranked Lincoln Way East blanks Belleville West 35-0, as you just heard us talking to Mike Helfgott. Number 8, Wabanse Valley over Glenbard North 29-28. They won with a two-point conversion with about 14 seconds left in that game. Glenbard West, the fourth-ranked team, beats Hinsdale South 14-6. Mount Carmel, blowout win 56-6. Number 6, Homewood Flossmoor, 54-6 victory. Brother Rice and Creep Pony, that game's still going on.
How many points?
I'm not good at math, Sam, but last we had was 52-36. Brother Rice up on Creep Pony. There's still about 4 or 5 minutes left in that ballgame.
That's 88, so, for the record.
88, and it continues to climb. We'll give you the final score on that when we get it. Number 10, Palatine rolls Elk Grove, 48-7. 11, Prairie Ridge tops number 18, Huntley, 31-20. OPRF over Addison Trail, 35-14. Fenwick, a big win, 51-0 blowout over Bowen. Number 17, Batavia, triple overtime win over number 19, Libertyville, 34-31 win, triple overtime victory there. That's your top 20 scoreboard. Let's take a look at some of the scores around the area coming in, and we appreciate you texting them in. We'll try to get them all in. 312-981-7200 if you have any other final scores for us. St. Ignatius, 48-0 over Whitney Young.
Big win.
Big win for them. Cary Grove, 42, McHenry, 14. Palatine beat Elk Grove, as I had just mentioned, 48-7. Ridgewood over Maine East, 54-14. Pleasant Plains blanks Riverton, 43-0. St. Charles North, 42-0 over Bartlett. My Hersey Huskies fell to Fremd, 35-7 in a mid-suburban league matchup. Maine West beat Larkin, 46-13. Schaumburg over Wheeling, 35-34. Marist beat Simeon, 24-14. DeKalb over Carmel, 38-10. St. Vider over St. Francis, 39-7. And Hillcrest over Oak Lawn, 22-6. That's your look at your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
We will wrap it up after this. It's 10:57 on WGN. Thank you to David Serra, the head coach of Maine South. The Hawks play at number one Loyola tomorrow at 1:30. Thanks to Mike Helfgott, brought to you by Lumonatis. Thank you to Rich Mayer and to Chris Vavra, as Dane Neal has walked into the studio. First time I think we've seen you in our Preps Plus crosstalk. How are you?
It's awesome. In the eye of the super sports storm. And like I said, off the air, you guys have your hand on the Preps Plus pulse, because I mean, this is awesome. It's a great time of year, right?
It's it really is cool. And me and Sam and I love doing this, because this is the only high school football show in the city, in all of Chicago. So spread the word. If you're driving around after a game, just tune in. We get you as many scores as we possibly can every Friday night.
It's one thing to offer up a forum for it and kind of just read off some scores, but you guys have it locked in, though, too.
Well, as you may have heard, Sam asked the layup questions. I asked the hard-hitting ones, like who has the best concession stand in the state.
It's like, you're going to beat Loyola. Dane, what are you going to do? Right? But yeah, that was great.
What are you going to eat at halftime? You know, if you're watching the Loyola game, what are you going to go get at the concession stand? Those are the types of questions I like to ask, Dane. I know that doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, and I think that is like the pertinent news. So, Kevin, in the Preps world, who has the best concession
stand? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Is there a top 20 for that?
That's what I'm trying to start here. Mike Helfgott is like the high school football guy, so I sort of put him on the spot there, but I'm going to hold him to it. He says he's going to do his research, check up on the high school football concession stand scene, and get us an update.
Priorities, priorities.
That's right.
Priorities.
That's right.
What's coming up on the Dane Neal extravaganza?
Extravaganza, I like that. We got to get the shirts made. So we're going to take a walk, not on the wild side, but the other side. Kind of a paranormal experience with Jen Weigel. She's going to be joining us a little bit after the break.
Love yep. Jen.
Right, and she's going to be having some psychics on, and so be careful with that. It could be...
She does this thing real quick. You should ask her about it on Instagram every day.
She's about a concession stand. She's got this awesome, like, and it's on the honor system, right? It's a box and you put some change in.
Ask her about, you find it in everything, her hashtag she does on Instagram.
Okay. Oh, we'll definitely do it. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to get into a little bit of the football, some college football kickoff, and then
go Cats.
We're going to have NFL kickoff and fantasy football with Adam Rank from the NFL Network. Nice. And we'll talk a little bit of baseball and, of course, some Labor Day barbecue.
For anything you may have missed, WGNradio.com. Search for Preps Plus. Big thanks to Joey Gelman. The controls are yours, Dane. Don't take it away.